Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who puts so much grace into the podcast game, it'll make you cry. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Feedback show, week number two. Very excited to get into it because we've got a good one for you here today because we are going to be joined by my co-host for coverage of this season's 90 Day Fiancé. He covers 90 Day Fiancé 52 weeks out of the year. Of course, you could hear him currently on the Masked Singer wrap-up. All things Big Brother, please welcome back the great Nipple King, Puya Zavakili. Puya, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Rob. What an intro. Thank you so much for that, as always. I'm excited, Rob. I'm excited to be back here with you talking Survivor this time. And it's been a great season so far, so I'm happy to talk about it.
Been a really fun season. Really, I think that, you know, it's been said only a billion times, but what a fun group.
Very fun group. Very difficult for me to see who's going to go to the top. I think we talked about this during the draft where I don't think there's like two front runners and everyone else is playing. It's a very even playing field. They've divided the edit well with everyone and that, you know, we're getting a lot of confessionals across the board. So I'm a happy camper is what I'm trying to put out there.
Yeah. Okay. Puya, what's new with you?
Let's see. What is new with me, Rob? So I feel like the last time we spoke during the Survivor season, Liana and I were trying to marathon all of the Fast and Furiouses. Mm-hmm. That's where we were. We're currently doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe in chronological order for the first time. Yeah. I mean, it's going to take months.
Is this the first for either of you?
I've seen like 80% of the movies, but out of order. And Liana's seen maybe 30% of the movies out of order. So,
okay. Yeah. I'd like to do that eventually with the boys, but I feel like not quite old enough yet. They've like cherry picked a few things here and there.
They'll get there. Yeah. I mean, in the rewatch, some of them, you do find some, you know, crude jokes here and there.
Okay. All right. Well, Puya, let me just set up what we've already done this week. Of course, Know-It-Alls had my exit interview with Mariah. That's up at robisatwebsite.com. And of course, you can watch that on our YouTube channel as well. And I got to speak with the great Dr. Evie Jagoda on Thursday night. I thought that that was a really fun one. Loved getting to catch up with Evie. Here we are now on the feedback show. And for the patrons only, I'll be getting into Survivor Academy this week. Our friend Brian Scally joins us as we talk through everything that future Survivor players should be paying attention to in terms of this week's episode. And we will get into that only on Survivor Academy, robiswebsite.com/patron. Puya, it's been an interesting season in that we've seen not one, but two shots in the dark played. And I don't have the stats in front of me, okay? I'm not necessarily Zach Wurtenberger, where I'm shouting out the Survivor Wiki. But interestingly, we've had two votes this season. We have seen only six votes read. Three people are gone. This has to be some historic pace.
I think, I mean, let's do the math there. Six divided by three, that's two per boot, kind of on average. That is definitely something new. That is definitely something that hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet.
And another anomaly that I was made aware of, there is not a player in the game
that has a vote cast against them.
Wow. You're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So clean. Damn. So clean. Very this clean. Shot in the dark has made things.
I don't mind it. Now, my question to you, Rob, is do you think how many more times do you think over under how many times are we going to see the shot in the dark happen again this season?
So when I podcast with Gabby in the first week, Gabby and I had made a bet that I felt like that. I thought we were going to see a lot of shots in the dark. I thought maybe I said with Gabby, I don't know, maybe five or six. Gabby felt like, no, it's probably going to be not that many. I think we made a bet of two and a half on the over under. I know there was a notes app apology required in the terms of our bet. I'm not sure if there was something else. I have to go back and listen, but I'm feeling good about my over on 2.5 shots in the dark.
I mean, it's a very safe bet for you, I think, Rob. We're down episode two. Two have already gone. I truly do think we're going to see more because ultimately it always comes down to what did that cast decide is normal to do. And when two people have already done it in front of five of the castmates, like about half the cast has seen it happen now, it'll normalize it.
Well, what's interesting though, is that Taku didn't see it done last time out. So that's interesting that, you know, Zach and Mariah arrived at the same conclusion and, you know, where I had thought last season that my takeaway was, though, no, the shot in the dark is the thing about the shot in the dark. It's not that people play the shot in the dark. It's that you always hide the blind side because that's how you get the person to not play the shot in the dark. But what has happened this season is that I feel like that both the tribes felt like, there's two people that we don't care. It's a coin flip. Do we want to get rid of Zach? Do we want to get rid of Tori? Do we want to get rid of Mariah or Marianne? If they played the shot in the dark, all right, we'll re-vote and we'll vote out the other one. So I feel like it's been sort of like no skin off the other players' noses to do the shot in the dark, or if the other person did the shot in the dark, it will be interesting to see, hypothetically, let's say Taku goes to another tribal council. Okay, now it looks like, okay, Marianne, slam dunk vote. And now it's like, well, what if Marianne plays her shot in the dark?
Right. Like, well, the problem is that that's still a 1 out of 6, right? That doesn't go down to 1 out of 5, which I wish the math would, you know, they'd remove one. I do wish for that statistic. But I think there's going to be enough paranoia with it, Rob, now that surely one of these shots in the dark are going to hit at some point somewhere.
Yeah. So. Well, I think the issue is that, like, so now if you're Omer or Jonathan or Lindsay, it's like, boy, I really hope Marion play her shot in the dark because one of us is going to be going home now. It's not like, okay, if Mariah hits it, we'll just vote out Marianne. Now you really have to start to think about, okay, well, we gotta make sure she doesn't play the shot in the dark.
Right. Which, you know, it'll come. Are you going to make them feel comfortable? Are you going to make them look somewhere else? How do you go about that?
Which I wonder, Puya, would it have been better gameplay last week? Maybe this is something we could talk about in the academy. Should they have pushed Marianne to play her shot in the dark last week? Of, okay, do you want to try to get the person who's not going home this time to play their shot in the dark so that they don't have the shot in the dark when you do want to vote them out?
The old burn the shot in the dark.
Yeah,
I see. Okay. It's not a bad shout. You're removing the, 16.6 infinite sixes percent off of their chances for the future. That's not a bad direction for you to take. I guess maybe for the first vote, it'd be too cute. But for a second vote moving forward, now you have that in your arsenal to maybe try.
Mm-hmm. And I get the sense that they were more concerned that Marianne had an idol from when she went to go to Shipwheel Island, where she has the extra vote, which I guess could potentially also loom large in. There's four people now in the tribe. If Marianne could get one person to vote with her, potentially, they could flip that vote 3-2 the next time that Taku goes to a tribal council.
And right then and there, that Shipwheel Island benefit comes through and pays dividends for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering this as I rewatched the episode yesterday. How do you think that Marianne will do at hiding the fact she has an extra vote now moving forward? She didn't know if she had it. How do you think she'll be doing with hiding this information?
I think Marianne's going to hide this information behind a lot of other words and sentences. I think Marianne's energy is very contagious. She talks a lot. She puts a lot out there. So I think it's like basically trying to cover up with as many words and syllables as possible. And then the question is, is it different to what they've recognized Marianne to be doing so far?
Mm-hmm. Because I am thinking Marianne does not have much of a poker face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, her face, she puts out what she's feeling. And most of the time, 9 out of 10, it's happy.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you think that Marianne could lie? Do you think that she will be an effective fibber in the game?
I think so. I really do think so. You know, I feel like not having a poker face doesn't necessarily translate to not being able to lie. Sometimes that smile might be exactly what you need to fall into a false sense of security and believe someone point blank. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Mariah, in my exit interview, I asked her about what did Marianne tell you when she came back from Shipwreck Island. Mariah did make it sound like that her story was a mess.
I wouldn't be surprised. Because Mariah did mention, what did she mention? She mentioned that everything was mentioned until they get to like some kind of peak, and then it didn't make sense from there on. Mm-hmm. So I think once it got to ship wheel, Marianne lost the wheel. Like, I don't know what to say here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Puya, what did you make about one of the big stories this week? Marianne told us so much about her feelings for Zach.
All right. Yes. Mm-hmm. What are my feelings about love? Rob? Yeah.
What do you think about love? You want to hear any of this stuff?
Let's get a quick recap of it. I don't mind.
All right. It's a long recap, I'm sorry to say, but here we go. Here's Marianne talking about Zach being voted out of the game.
Marianne, huge reaction.
I told my tribe, and I guess I'll tell all of you, Zach is like every type of white guy that I have a crush on. So there goes that.
Really?
Yeah.
So a blossoming love affair is over?
No, not on Survivor, though. If we met like on a tribe swap, connected after, and then after this is over.
So okay. I just want to take this moment, Marianne, to show how beautiful this is. In the midst of a very difficult game, you still had a little hope for love.
You know, I have an 100% rejection rate with all the guys I've liked. So I was like, you know, I focus on the game now. But a little part of me was like...
Well, I will just say, as somebody who loves love, keep hope alive. Just because you've been rejected 100%, it means they aren't the right people.
Okay. Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive. Yeah. Very, very big Julie Chen Moonves turn for our very own Jeff Probst, mm-hmm. I feel like. Yeah. Jeff Probst heard love and thought, all right, that's what we're talking about now. That's it. That's the story from here on out.
Yeah. So it came up again at Tribal Council, where we got the whole situation about Zach once again.
The thing is, like, Zachary literally picture perfect, and I'm like, hey, God, is that you? Like, wow.
First of all, I love the, hey, God, is that you? Is that God, or is this God? We are feeling God's presence. That God sent an angel in Zach down.
Maybe. Was this a Lord, Jeff, Zach type situation? Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
It's just like a 2-for-1. You win Survivor and then you also get a man. And then it's like in the reunion, Jeff's like, yeah, Marianne. So you started to date Zach. How'd that work out? And I'm like, well, Jeff, thank you for putting me on season 42. It's a whole big side.
She says, okay, it's a whole big side. Wait, is this Gen Z slang? It's a whole big side?
Like, is Zach the side? Zach's the side.
Zach is her side piece?
I mean, with the main course being winning Survivor,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So the main dish is, hey, I was on Survivor and I won.
Right.
The side with a side of Zach, with a side of a burger, put the burger on the side, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You better Wurtenberger. That's right. That's right. I think that's what that is. But also, I just had my 30th birthday, so maybe I'm mm-hmm. behind on the slang. Mm-hmm. But I feel comfortable.
Have you heard that before?
Not in that phrasing.
No. Not in that phrasing. But again, I don't know. Is this a Marianism or is this what young people say? And if people want to gently tell me.
Gently.
If you want to gently inform me, please educate me. But, you know, if you could, that, you know, with love. I love love. Yeah. I love love from the listeners.
Rob loves being educated. Lovely.
Yeah, please. I want to be smarter, but please, you know, don't drag me.
That's all we ask.
That's all I'm asking for. And
like, you know, it's like, even though the part of the game is about winning, you still think about the little things too.
Yeah.
Little things, Rob. Is Zach at this point the most mentioned? Because like, we know Jackson went out first technically, Zach was the first voted out. Is Zach now the most mentioned first person voted out in that same season ever?
Okay. So was there ever a first boot who comes up so much?
Yeah, with such impact.
After the fact, I'm trying to think of, I mean, usually with these things, it's like out of sight, out of mind. I can't think of another person that the tribe continues to talk about when they're gone.
I mean, this isn't even his tribe. This is another tribe that's talking about him.
So, Puya, in thinking about this a little bit earlier today, you know, I know Marianne is a Big Brother fan. And the showmances on Big Brother are much more an integral part of the game than they are to Survivor. Is it possible? Do you think that Marianne, and we've seen foot there, if you go, I think that Marianne might have even tweeted this herself. Of, you know, her being at tapings of Big Brother Canada, where, of course, in Big Brother Canada, the showmances are even more important. Do you think that Marianne potentially has maybe been thinking of a showmance where maybe, with all due respect to Zach, it's not so much that, you know, Zach, you know, love at first sight, but maybe is it possible that Marianne was looking at who will be her showmance in this season?
Interesting. So is Marianne, did Marianne come in with a showmance as a strategy potential of like someone to ride with this season?
And not even potentially like as a strategy of the game, but potentially a strategy for like, you know, the clout.
The clout success. I mean, honestly, showmances bat a very high average success rate on the clout range.
But are a much bigger part of the Big Brother of it all, as opposed to the Survivor of it all.
That's true. I mean, there are some couples out of the Survivor realm that have made it pretty far and have become a big name. But I don't think Marianne's in that business, Rob. Yeah. I think Marianne just put eyes on good old Zach Wurtenberger and thought, I'm feeling the vibe. Yeah, I'm hearing music.
Buy this too much either. I just thought about it because, you know, on Big Brother, people come out every season and it's like, you know, it's like a question that gets asked, which you would never even think to ask a Survivor contestant. So are you single and ready to mingle out here? Like, that's not even something a Survivor player, you know, you would be, you know, kicked off the Survivor press coverage if you would ask a person that.
Yeah, please don't. The questions have been great as is. Y'all don't need to add that for sure. Yeah, I feel like, honestly, it's one of those things where I can very much picture Marianne's doing small talk with people on the tribe and said, did you see anyone that was cute? I'll go first. I thought Zach was kind of cute. I thought Zach was a cute one. Mm-hmm. And then Zach goes and Omar's like, that was your crush right there. Like, dude, your crush is out there now. Yeah, I don't, Marianne.
Stay crushing it.
Mm-hmm, stay crushing it.
Yeah. Okay. Puya, well, what's your feelings on Marianne here as sort of, you know, big main character energy for Marianne?
Absolutely. I feel like this episode, and most of the big laugh moments come from Marianne, from the slashing of the machete to... Yeah,
here's Marianne!
Best part is the smile doesn't leave her face at any point. It was so good. I was gone watching this. I also really did enjoy the I'm gonna mask the Disney Channel thing with saying CBS so they play it and does the Disney Channel like you know, on in the corner with the wand. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that what she was going for was let me see. I actually cleaned this up for Marianne. I did Marianne a favor here. Okay. I think that this is what Marianne is trying to do.
Hi, I'm Marianne from Survivor, and you're watching CBS.
That's the plug.
Okay. You've switched it up on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Because I don't know. Are you, I guess for the live feeds, you're a Paramount Plus guy.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, every single thing you watch on Paramount Plus, you know, you're hearing that stinger, you know, a billion times. You want to try one?
Sure. Why not? Why not?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
All right.
Yeah.
Previously on Big. Yeah, that's what I picture that goes on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of utility here with this.
I mean, why not? Why not? Honestly, that was one of the things that I feel like old school TV had that I enjoyed, having the different people from your shows doing the little plug mm-hmm. before another show starts or before middle of commercials. I think there's a lot of leg room there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot they could do with that. And I feel like Marianne could be the one to usher us back into that era.
Yeah. Here, could I try another one?
Yes, okay. Please.
Here we go.
You've got to protect the balls, Roxroy.
Yeah, you like that?
I mean, how can I not, Rob?
Okay, here.
A lot Let's of my favorite get things crack-a-lackin'.
Chappelle, we dedicate that one to you. That was for you.
So, there you go. coming to CBS.
Here's like Marianne!
Rob, you're slick with it. I love how quickly you're transitioning these.
Boom. Yeah.
Love it. What would the RHAP one be? Let's say RHAP got picked up by Paramount Plus and you're about to go into a show.
Okay.
What would that be?
Coming to you live from my apartment, you're listening to Rob as a podcast. Yeah.
Clean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Marianne is... We are so blessed to have Marianne here with us in Survivor 42, bringing a lot to the table.
So much to the table. And honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like a lot of us were sitting there Wednesday night, a little bit worried about Marianne's longevity for a little bit there. So I'm very happy to see Marianne still here, still going strong into episode 3. Let's do it.
Yeah. Marianne, after, you know, we've learned a lot about Marianne's dating history in Survivor 42. She said this after Taku lost the challenge. Here's Marianne after the challenge.
Tonight's tribal, it's like going on the worst first date ever. You show up with the person you like, and then in the end, they leave and you never see them again. And hopefully, after tribal council, my heart isn't broken.
All right, there's a lot to unpack there, Puya. Okay. First off, tribal council is like the worst first date ever, because you show up with the person that you like, and then you never see them again. This must have been very triggering for Marianne, because she showed up to Survivor, saw the person that she liked, and then he's gone and never see him again. So that's tough. That's tough. A tough break. Two, is that what tribal council is like?
If tribal council has taken the shape and form of many things in the last 20 years, Rob.
Yeah.
But a Marianne could be like a first date. And then obviously, you know, to translate that first date example, she got ghosted afterwards, right?
She got
there was
ghosted.
A ghosting that happened. Rob, have you ever gotten ghosted before?
Oh, in a romantic sense? I'm trying to think. I don't think they called it that then.
Yeah, was it like getting Caspered?
Let's see. I don't. Yeah, it wasn't like Ghost. It wasn't like Ghosted, because like Ghosted, I think, sort of implies like you're communicating like digitally.
It is more of a, it did come from the digital side of things. Yes, the digital era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember what the word was for stood up. Getting stood up was more right?
Yeah, I feel like getting stood up is more like you are like, you're meeting somebody somewhere and then mm-hmm. They just do not, they don't show up.
Yeah.
They don't show up. So I whatever is like a negative word that you can come up with, like, yeah, it happened to me, but I don't think I wouldn't say that I got ghosted. I've gotten ghosted for podcasts before.
That I fully believe. That is definitely possible.
There's been times like I've booked Survivor alumni, and then as we get closer to the date of the podcast that we agreed upon, they stop returning communication with me. And so it is a scary feeling of like, hey, yeah, I know we're doing the podcast today. I haven't heard from you in a bit. You know, that's like where we go to like in case of glass, you know, a break in emergency.
Yeah. And you know, that does give you heartbreak, you know, a little bit. So you definitely feel what Marianne feels with
it's
that.
It's not a great feeling. It's not a great feeling.
No.
Is that, though, the worst first date that Marianne's describing?
Tonight's tribal, it's like going on the worst first date ever. You show up with the person you like, and then in the end, they leave and you never see them again. And
I mean, that sounds like a pretty good first date that doesn't go well after.
Yeah, the date went well. You didn't get to date number two. I feel like mm-hmm. the worst first date, like someone vomits on
right.
someone.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I feel like that there is like some sort of like, you know, bad bodily functions are happening. Yeah. But,
yeah,
I mean, honestly, but again, Marianne doesn't know. She has not been on a lot of dates.
This is correct. This is correct. I would say as far as reality TV stuff goes, a endurance competition on Big Brother far more closer to a bad first date mm-hmm. than any other thing on TV. Sure.
This is why me and Marianne, like, I relate to her so much, because both of us we're on Survivor, and it's like, hey, Jeff, I'm 23. I can't get a date. There's cute people on the other tribe. Like, let's make it happen. I'm thinking about my game, but if we got together after the show, that's great. That would be a whole side.
Both of you beloved.
We're practically the same person. We're getting a bunch of confessionals.
I could see it. I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're doing CBS plugs together.
I mean, all I'm saying is I look forward to Survivor 43 when you debut the Survivor Twinsies, and it's you and Marianne doing a weekly pod. I'm here for that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
But yeah, let's get to some questions from listeners.
Not?
How about that? Okay. This is a feedback show. Of course, every week we ask you to call in with your questions. rob@website.com/voicemail. We'd love to hear from our listeners. We love love. We love to hear from our listeners.
We love the listeners.
Yeah. because this is we want to have fun with you here on the Feedback Show. We like
can't spell feedback without fun, Rob. Honestly, this is what we're here for. We're here for all the goofy stuff.
Okay. Let's talk to our great friend, Megan, the librarian.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Puya. This is Megan, the librarian, calling. Last season, I called in to ask for Puya's take on the Canadian players, and I basically have the same question today. Because as we all know, Survivor is like religion in Canada. And I'm really glad CBS finally figured this out and started including us on the show.
Yeah.
However, does it seem odd that they're not pandering to their most loyal audience by drawing attention to the fact that the Canadian players are Canadian? It's barely even been mentioned. Why have there been no discussions about how we pronounce about or about hockey or whatever? When will we get some real CanCon on this show? Jeez. Seriously, though, Omar and Marianne are doing really well, eh? Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Bye.
When can we get some CanCon? That's Canadian content. Is that what they say?
Yeah. Yes, you nailed it.
Yeah, get some can. Don't be not to be confused with Cancun.
No, this is a different vibe completely.
Yeah.
Okay. Much warmer.
CanCon. Okay. So we back in the preseason, Mike Bloom and I listened to interviews that were recorded with the Survivor contestants, and it was Drea who said that, you know, in Canada, Survivor's like a religion, because when you go through a hard time, that you say to people, like, it's like I'm on Survivor right now.
Listen, who am I to question, Drea?
In your experience living in Canada, did you ever hear people talking about that?
In my experience, if I'm being very honest, sadly not. Yeah. My experience was mostly, oh, you watch Survivor? Yeah, I actually podcast with, you know, I podcast on a network of a guy that used to play Survivor. Who? Rob. Boston Rob.
Yes. Hey.
My manager at the bagel place was so much in support of you when she thought you were Boston Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Once she realized that it wasn't that Rob, I was like, it was this other Rob. Oh. Was on the season, same season of one season. She didn't know who, which was big insulting, but. Mm. Yeah. So sadly for me, I have not met the ones that treat it as a religion. Yeah. Yeah, not the real ones.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Puya, what about our Canadian contestants? I mean, we've talked about Marianne. What's left to be said about Marianne?
Honestly, we could keep talking about Marianne. Marianne told Canada's Jeff, sweetheart. I could keep going. We could keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Canadians this season do all bring main character energy, right? You look at Omer and Marianne over on Taku. They're doing their thing. They're 1-2. They're 2-1. They're both there. Marianne, obviously, a very big personality. Omer got a lot of content this week as well. We learned about Omer's religion, about his background. We learned about his bromance with Jonathan. Yeah. So Omer's out here doing big things. And then you've obviously got Drea over on the Ika tribe who has a lot going on and a lot of envy drawn from some other players. So I love to see it. I'm very excited. We've come a long way from, and no offense to the men, the Tom Laidlaw era of the Canadian Survivor player. It's been looking good, Rob, and it's been trending upwards. I love it.
Yeah. So going back to Omer and Marianne, I think in the preseason, we had pegged that, okay, this is going to be the duo. This is going to be the pair. I thought that was so interesting this week that we got Omer and Jonathan are working together. And what I thought was like especially interesting was that it seemed like it was such a mutual admiration society where that, I mean, I feel like that in the past, like you sort of like see this. And then in Omer's confessional, it's like, yeah, I'm working with this big dummy, but in reality, like, we're going to vote him out when we get to the merge, and we're just sort of using him. I mean, Omer did call him a meat shield, but he said, but I'm also a brain shield, and that they seem to, like, earnestly really enjoy each other's company. And, you know, I thought it was such a interesting thing where that sometimes you see these pairs, and it's sort of like, hey, we got to make sure like people don't see us. We got to hide this. And you hear Lindsay saying to Mariah, like, don't you just love their bro time where it seems like, and not even like, hey, we got to watch out about those two. It seemed like that the tribe is like invested in this relationship.
And honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're two people that they wouldn't have expected to bond this way, yeah. Right? If you have two guys who are like, let's say both very athletic, both have similar hairstyle, similar facial hair, it's like, all right, these two are a clear threat. We got to like get rid of them. We can't have that be happening. But when you've got two people with such different backgrounds that people don't expect to mesh well, who are not meshing well, it's like, oh, look at that. Who would have thought? That's such a nice scene. I love that. Yeah. So I think that does contribute to it quite a bit.
I do wonder if this is something that we should be taking from this. And, you know, throughout the history of reality TV, like, I think that this has been something that, you know, has happened, but maybe not something that's sort of been like crystallized, in that if you align with a person who in some way is sort of like not like you, mm-hmm. where two of something is threatening.
Yes.
But like a thing that is like the opposite of the other thing, you know, that you can't really sort of like put them together in a box of like, oh, those two got to watch out for them. But it's sort of like Malcolm aligned with Denise, not threatening, like, Rich and Rudy, you know, the Big Brother, like Danielle and Jason, like, where, you know, even like a Steven and JT, where it's not, they're not exactly the same. It's not like there's two of them that you're worried about. It's less threatening, the group of two.
I definitely do think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. And I wonder if, you know, will we get this with, you know, Daniel and Chanel?
I think so. I think that's another good duo to mention here, where they seem to be kind of completing each other's, game book of how to navigate this game. And I don't think they're two people that are going to immediately be mm-hmm. Paired up or looked at as potential threats working together.
Yeah. So. It'll be interesting, you know, that I feel like, you know, maybe a Swathi and Roxroy is another pair like that.
I could see that
if they are a pair, you know, I'm assuming based on going from last week's episode, but yeah, I feel like that's a good note.
I definitely think so. I think it's something to look out for and see how they, some of these pairings do this season. And, you know, maybe this ends up becoming a new look in the strategy pool.
Because naturally you feel like, okay, oh, this person's just like me. Like I should align with them, but that's very threatening.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I mean, look back to when Christian starts broing down with the brochachos, mm-hmm. it's a, oh, what? We didn't expect Christian to be part of them. Okay, cool. Love that. So again, it's all about seeing things you don't expect to see and then being excited that it's working out. It's always fun to watch that play out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me give you a question from Tara. Okay. Here's the great, Tara Renee has a question for you, Pooya.
Hey, Pooya and Rob. I was wondering if you have any predictions for the food rewards this season. Will there be anything as infamous as the stew? And what's the chance we might see some chicken nuggets?
Oh, okay.
Tara, why? Why must you do this? Why? Oh, my God. Rob, I'm never going to live that down, you know.
Yes. Okay, well, we do know, Roxroy had an issue with the McNuggets this week.
We got to protect the balls, Roxroy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roxroy, listen, you always got to keep control of the McNuggets. You got to make sure that they're not in harm's way. But Roxroy may have learned that the hard way, Rob.
So. Yes, certainly. Do you have predictions on the food rewards? I don't think we've ever had nuggets as a food reward on Survivor. I mean, perhaps at like some sort of like a buffet where it's like, you've got chicken. And like, but I don't think we've ever seen a nugget, let alone a McNugget on Survivor.
The only time I've heard
Big Brother chicken Canada, nuggets certainly. Come up. Yeah.
I think the only time I've heard it come up was in San Juan del Sur.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Yeah. Wes ate, 52? Nuggets? Yeah,
Child's play. That's nothing. West.
Booyah, I could do 100, 200.
I can't do, I did 100. I can do implies that I can do it easily. It's not easy. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Rob, listen, we're here with two guys, one of whom would like to never hear about chicken nuggets, one of whom I think is sick of hearing about stew at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I have to imagine you're going to be talking about stew once more before
you ever
want to
hear about nuggets.
Listen, I'll still like
you. Still love nuggets.
I don't love them, but I'll still have them here and there. Yeah. They're not banished from my stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because full disclosure, right? That I recently had to buy you Burger King for dinner, and I'm pretty sure there were some nuggets in that order.
Rob, when the nuggets are $1.99, you'd be ridiculous not to throw an order on. It's like, why not? You know, why not? Sweeten the deal. But yeah, we
Rob did a wager.
We did a wager on 90 Day. I won. Rob had to pay for our dinner. We redeemed it the night of the Survivor premiere. Sorry, BB Camp premiere. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Nuggets were involved, Rob. That being said, they still bring back not fond memories if there's too many of them. But, you know, an 8-piece, you're fine. Life is fine. Mm-hmm. Everything's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to see stew back, Rob. You have to be mentally prepared to talk about stew once more. You just have to, right?
Oh, you think the stew is coming back?
I mean, if these seasons went back to back, Rob, and
I didn't even think about that.
And Xander big up the stew. You undersold the hell out of that stew.
Undersold the hell out of the stew. Yeah.
So maybe it's like double the stew. Mm-hmm. Two stew, two delicious. How about that?
Two stew. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you get some stew. Maybe we get some chowder.
That looks like a New Orleans boil, doesn't it? Just need a little Old Bay.
Yeah, love you, Old Bay.
Mm-hmm. Rob, you've gone to New Orleans. You went there for some festivities once, right?
Yes, I was there for Mardi Gras. Was it 1999 or 2000? One of them. Yeah, might have been 2000.
Have you had the New Orleans boil before?
Yes, I did. I went to a crawfish boil. So I feel like that the hermit crabs they had were better. Than, you know, I just feel like it's a lot of work. I think you gotta really like suck the hell out of those things. Like,
nice. Me,
as an amateur, again, I did not have the Old Bay. I did not really know what to do. I like lobster, but yeah, I just like coming in as a rank amateur. I'm not Jovi. Okay. I don't know what to do. Like the people that know what to do, they get those suckers and they're like,
they know what's going on.
They know what's going on. Yeah. Not me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, okay. So that is not a bad guess. I feel like we put out the stew. What else could potentially be on the, at some point, someone's going to throw out like some kind of steak reward, right? That's got to be somewhere.
Yeah, that's usually like maybe the final six. Like they had very meager, like for whatever reason, they got on this wild hair about like, we're going to not give them food and we're going to, and then we'll make the food rewards. Not that good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're on this. So it's like, you'll get a ham sandwich. Okay.
Oh man.
Sorry for you.
Yeah.
A little ham and cheese with processed cheese. Great time.
Grilled cheese.
Pour one out.
Yeah.
Pour one out for High here, Rob, who really has to now break some of his own personal restrictions to deal with this condition in the season. I liked what you mentioned, like what you said about High potentially being given a heads up.
Yeah.
Heads up would have been nice for High, I feel like.
And I have no idea, but like it does feel like that the right thing to do in a situation like this of like, hey, just so you know, we don't always give the contestants rice. Like you may be in a situation where you have to potentially like make a, you know, moral choice. But High really, you know, High loves animals. Did you happen to catch High's socks, Puya? And they are High socks, by the way. They are puppy socks.
High's got dogs on his socks, Rob. True.
Step one. So yeah, we saw Aaron back in season 9 had his kid on his socks.
Yes.
Now, do we know is that High's dog on his socks?
Interesting. So the socks are designed in the exact same way as the kid on the socks socks were designed. Mm-hmm. And I will say, in between these two seasons, 42 and 39, I have seen those personalized ads with those sock designs on like my social media. So I would assume I'm, you know, and I know High does respond to things like this. So High,
yes.
Is it your dog, or is this a dog you know, or just a dog you admire the design of?
Yes. Okay. I'm looking at High's Twitter account to see if High discussed this. High did respond to my question about the shirt recently. So we're talking so much about High's fashion. High fashion. Yeah.
So Rob, I'm looking at a photo from I Went Investigator. I'm looking at a photo of High with a dog over on his Instagram, and I think it's the same dog as the dog on the socks.
Okay, so let's see. Here's him with the socks that he says, "My dog Basil was on TV last night. Y'all have no idea how grateful I was to have a picture of my pup with me on the island. It was my most prized possession out there. It came full circle because I adopted him in March 2020, right after casting, when the pandemic hit. If filming wasn't delayed, I would have never found my soul dog. Crazy how things work out sometimes." So yeah, that is High's dog.
Basil the dog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great name for a dog. Love that.
Yeah, that I am a dog owner. Maybe I should get some dog socks.
I would ship it. I think get some dog socks for sure. And get a, you know, get some for you, get some for the kids as well. Like everyone get the socks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How high would these socks be though? Are you more of an ankle sock guy or a?
I don't know if I could pull off high socks. Yeah, I kind of wear low cut. I don't know if I don't have that kind of swag like High has.
Okay. But do you think you have the calves for it though? Or like, is this a. Okay.
It's a good question. Do I have the BFJ calves? That's not for me to say. I'm not gonna like call my shot. Like, I don't know.
Not for me to answer either. So I will also stay with you right there.
Yeah. Okay. What about you? Are you a high sock guy?
I typically go with the ankle socks. I let the calves do the talking, not the socks.
Do the talking, right? Yeah, right. So, yeah, I gotta get the dog socks. But you know what? You know who would not like that?
Who?
The First Lady of podcasting.
Why?
I think she would feel like, oh, you like the dog more than me.
So, but then would she be fine if you got First Lady of Podcasting
I would need to, that I would need to get a socks with her face on them.
Okay. Yeah. Start with those.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Would you get Liana socks?
I will if you will, Rob, 100%. Okay. I'll order them tonight. I don't know how she take it, but I will do it if you do it.
Well, I think the trick is going to be you have to find the right photo. She's like, oh, you use that photo? Use that picture.
It's got to be a photo. You know how we can get this?
So like, hey, terrible in that picture.
I was thinking of posting this on the Instagram. What do you think? Is this a good one? Like, yeah, I like this one. Posted. It's like, okay, if it's good enough for Instagram, it's good enough for my feet. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way.
Okay, so there you go. All right, let me give you another question from our amazing listeners here, and. Let's talk about this Triway Idol that I've been hearing so much about. Here's a question from Bryce about Daniel.
Hi, Robin Puya. This is Bryce. I'm calling because I thought it was hilarious this week when Mike went to show Daniel where the hidden Muni Idol was and couldn't find it. Now, I'm wondering, since we know Daniel doesn't want Mike to actually play the idol, is it possible for Daniel to take Mike's hidden idol, wherever it might be hidden, and simply move it to be hidden somewhere else, thus preventing Mike from being able to say the phrase and get an active idol? Let me know what you guys think.
Okay. Well, yeah. Steven and I were trying to crack this the other night. Like, what can Daniel do to make Mike not have the idol? And I don't normally like to talk too much about what's in the previews, but there is one other thing I actually do want to talk about from the previews for this next episode. But okay. In the previews, Mike again is talking about he can't find the idol. Now again, is Mike? I know Mike is later days. That could be an issue. But is it possible Daniel could move the idol, and would that be allowed?
So I love the idea of Daniel, you know, taking the idol, kicking it a couple feet down, putting it somewhere else. Sounds like fun to me. However, the would it be allowed of it all, I have to imagine this falls under the non-transferable rules of the game, mm-hmm. where, like, I don't think he can have any ownership of it. I think the best way for him to maneuver it is through the art of persuasion. It sounds like he knows that too, right? He talked about it with Chanel of, here's what we could do with it, but I think he's got to be able to do it with his mouth, not with his hands. Yeah.
So this is actually a long time debate that I have had with Stephen Fishback, where Stephen has always maintained you cannot take another person's idol. If it's in their bag, you cannot take it. I have said that, you know, yes, that is the rule until, like, the Survivor producers decide, ooh, this will be good TV if somebody did that. And while it would not be stealing another player's idol, if another player told you where their advantage/idol was buried, could you go dig it up and bury it somewhere else? I don't know. Is that, would that be stealing another player's idol? You wouldn't be claiming it. And I have always said that in like a gray area like that, the producers will err on the side of what will be good television. What will be a Survivor first?
Right. So, ultimately what we do know is they can't play it. I think the non-transferable means they can't play it, but they can touch it, right? They've been, other people have, you know, shown their mm-hmm. idol to people and yeah. they've like looked at it. So that's allowed. Could it be the case? Maybe. Now let's look back at this, which by the way, I know Mike called it the triway idol. Tridle was right there.
Tridle's
the way to go. But because of the tridle causing you to sacrifice your vote until further notice, until you get an idol, basically, I feel like for that reason alone, then they can't. Because if Mike can't even find this idol, then should he be also punished by not having his vote?
Hmm.
And if that's the case, only if he misplaces it, not if someone else moves it.
So you don't think he should be allowed to do that? Daniel should not be allowed to move the idol.
For my sake, I would love for Daniel to do it, but for Mike's sake, I would say no.
Yeah. So if you're a producer on the ground there, what you say that this is not a fair game?
I mean, if I'm producer, I'm going to be like, listen, this isn't a fair game, but it's fun game. Do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why not? Let it happen. But mm-hmm. yeah, I feel like the fairness of it all would not be acceptable
here. Yeah. And I don't know if he would still be able to say the thing. And the question is, like, will Mike remember the line if he does not have his script?
Given how much Mike hates soccer, he's not going to forget this line anytime soon, I feel like.
He did say at one point, he's like, oh, I don't even remember what the line is. Okay, now let's talk about that. Okay, so here is Mike talking about what he has to say in the challenge.
There is such grace in a game of soccer. It makes me cry. I don't like soccer. Matter of fact, when I coach my football teams, I told my kids it wasn't even a sport.
Okay, this came up. On Fridays, I've been rewatching the episodes in the patron Discord with the Rob is a Podcast patrons as another rewatch of this. And there was a question that came up. What's the backstory, Huya? Well, why does Mike hate soccer so much? What happened?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know who slide tackled him, who took his shin pads. I don't know what happened here, but Mike has this hatred into soccer that I just don't understand.
Okay. You are a soccer lover. I recently heard you with Grace Leader with the update of Premier League guy.
Big Premier League guy, sad Manchester United guy, always, you know, out here taking L's these last decade. It's been a lot. Yeah, I'm a big soccer guy, Rob. I grew up playing soccer and, you know, it was definitely my sport. It is the sport of most of the world, Mike. Sorry to break it to you. And we call it football.
Football. You know? Football.
Yeah,
okay.
We call it football.
Okay.
So I don't know if Mike got into a debate with a guy who said, why are you calling it soccer? That's football. Football is with the feet, not with the hands. And Mike did not like that. I was like, you know what? Until as long as I'm coaching a football team, they will never recognize soccer as a sport. Yeah. Not while I'm here.
Let me hear this again. What was the problem?
There is such grace in a game of soccer. It makes me cry. I don't like soccer. Matter of fact, when I coach my football teams, I told my kids it wasn't even a sport.
All right, kids, get in here. Get in here. All right. Football, this is a sport. Soccer, no. Not a sport.
Keep that nonsense at home. None of that here. Don't bring that here.
Baseball, sport. Badminton, not a sport.
Ultimate Frisbee, not a sport.
Not a sport. Yeah. Puya, have you cried about how much grace there is in soccer?
I have cried one time watching soccer. And it wasn't even me looking at the Iranian national team at the World Cup. It was actually the England national team getting eliminated by Brazil in 2002. I was a wee lad. I was 10 years old. And I rooted for England. My favorite player in the world is David Beckham. They got eliminated and I was very sad. And my mom was like, but this isn't even Iran. I was like, I don't care. I'm sad. Let me be sad. So it's happened one time.
See, yeah. But you didn't cry because there was so much grace. You cried because you rooted for a team that lost.
Football gave me feelings, but not because of the grace. I wasn't like, ooh, that free kick. It was so good. No, that didn't happen.
I have cried from sports.
Okay. Can you share one of them? One story with us.
Boy, it was 2006. the Mets were a team of destiny, and Andy Chavez, took a home run away from Scott Rowland, and they doubled them up the runner at first base, and the Mets came to bat in the bottom of the sixth inning, and did they load the bases? It looked like they were on their way to the Mets' first World Series in what would have been 20 years. Yadier Molina hit a home run, and the Mets were eliminated.
Ooh.
We can go back to a playoff still 2015.
And you cried after this happened.
I think I wept. I mean, I think I was, in my late 20s. I don't think I'm sure the Jets, have given me many reasons to cry.
The Jets and the Mets making you cry since 2006.
I know. No, since well before that, since the early 90s.
Gotcha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rob, I'm not a baseball guy at all, but if I was ever to back a team, I would back your team just to give you solidarity and support.
Yeah, we're spending a lot of money, Puya. So
this is the time to get it. Okay, takeover. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
This is grace in baseball. I don't know if football really has a lot of grace.
Where would the grace be in football? Yeah.
Not a graceful game.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Mm-hmm.
There's grace in soccer, but it's never moved me to tears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. How do you think Mike's going to do with this, Puya?
Poorly. He doesn't like the sport, and they're going to make him say that it moved him to tears. I don't think Mike's going to be ready for that. And I do think now that we've talked about it a little bit more, I do think he's going to need the script. He needs the script
for
this one.
He's going to need the assist. That Daniel has, some plans. Daniel also seems to be in favor of the idol.
Arrows must also be found on the other beaches. I like this twist. This is a fun
one. Great, but it's on
this. Jeff Probst had a good idea.
He says, Jeff Probst had a good idea.
Daniel loves this twist. Yeah.
A little teacher's pet much. Or no?
I mean, listen, Daniel's one of us, right? A little bit. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to him. A little bit suck up-ish. But I will say, I think Daniel is getting the best deal out of this twist.
Oh, for sure.
He gets to watch it with a front row seat. He knows exactly who has it. He knows exactly what he's looking out for now. And he just gets to eat popcorn and watch it. And he still gets to vote at every tribal. He should be the one that's happiest about this twist. He's got the best deal out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really great deal. Okay. Puya, how about let's talk about a secret scene from this week. This is fun. You're gonna like this. Okay.
Yeah, I have not watched them.
Okay.
And when I said I hadn't, you were like, I'm gonna reveal it to you live. So I'm looking forward to the react here, Rob.
I'm gonna play a secret scene. Not everybody gets to watch the secret scene. But this has to do with something that comes up quite a bit on these podcasts and a little bit of, as Evie put, we have people who are later days on Survivor, but we also have people who are very, very young people in this cast. And we have Swathi, who is here and is 19 years old. Swathi.
Okay. Yes.
Doing a great job so far.
I would say so.
Yeah. Swathi, not afraid to make a big strategic move. We saw with this past week where Tori, she and Tori were talking with Drea, who said, hey, let's make a women's alliance. Swathi's like, hey, why don't we get rid of Drea?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a little bit, we didn't get to see a lot of the Ika tribe in this episode, but here's a little bit of them, a little camp life going on here, and let's listen in.
Competition today. Okay. Why are you chopping it with the wrong end?
Okay. Swathi is chopping a coconut. Roxroy tells her, hey, for that coconut,
let's get crack-a-lackin'.
Okay, you want to crack-a-lack the coconut? This is what you do. She's using the wrong side of the machete. Okay.
Oh no!
All right, Swathi will help.
Of the machete.
Oh, that explains
my
so much.
Goodness.
That explains so much.
That's hilarious.
Please I'll forget that happened, everybody.
So
no need to mention that one again. Wait, I'm actually feeling juice.
Isn't it? That's not what I wanted you to hear, Puya. That was we're not at the part yet.
Okay.
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 That's not that part yet. Okay. Now talk about the juice. Okay.
It's coming out.
It's coming out.
Yeah. Okay. So
work it, Missy Elliott style.
I don't know who Missy Elliott is, but
okay. Roxroy, beside himself. Swathi does not know who Missy Elliott is.
Oh. My God. Okay. I was not ready for that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not Baylor's mom.
No.
Okay.
Definitely not. Not Muffin. No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Missy Elliott. Roxroy has a look of incredulousness on his face.
I can't blame him. I can't blame him.
Who Missy Elliott is. Okay. So what does Swathi know? Okay. Actually, you want to play? You want to take a quiz? Okay, let's see. Okay, so they're gonna test Swathi. What does Swathi know? Okay, all right, here we go.
That's amazing.
Oh man!
No, I'm getting old.
Oh man! Aerosmith.
Okay, Puya. Does Swathi know Aerosmith?
No. I feel like Swathi might know one person out of Aerosmith, but Aerosmith as like, a collective.
Yeah. Okay. Let's listen for the answer. Does Swathi know Aerosmith?
No. Sharon?
Okay. No. I mean, Roxroy. She didn't know Missy Elliott. You're going backwards.
Roxroy. Aerosmith is the next guest. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, Roxroy, maybe a big Aerosmith guy.
Well, I wouldn't have expected it, but here we are. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Even Tyler.
Okay. Does Swathi know who Cher is? Let me just make sure I have this right. I think this is Drea asked, do you know who Cher is?
Okay. Aerosmith.
Do you know who Cher is?
Okay. Drea wants to know, do you know who Cher is, Swathi?
So we're in 2022. This was done in like 2021. Yeah. She was like post 2000s, baby.
Yeah.
Cher, I feel like Cher. You know, there's not a lot of one-named celebrities out there.
A one-named celebrity bracket?
I don't know if we're ready for that yet, Rob. I think Cher. Yeah. Yes, that might be the one. Yes, here.
Cher, I believe, has a number one song in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. But Swathi wasn't alive during any of those times. Okay. No. Do you know who Cher is?
You don't know who Arrow
I've heard of Cher.
Okay, heard of Cher.
There we go. Okay.
Okay. Roxroy still can't get over Aerosmith.
You've heard of Cher.
Celine Dion.
Okay. All right. Another Canadian. Mm-hmm. Celine Dion. Okay. Has Swathi heard of Celine Dion?
I'm going to say no, but if you played her a Celine Dion song, she will recognize the song.
Okay. Does Swathi know Celine Dion?
I've also heard of Celine Dion.
This is a cultural.
Okay.
Okay. We'll take it. Okay. We'll take what we can get here.
Smith, heard of Cher, heard of Celine Dion.
Thing, because my sisters know all these people.
Okay. Yeah, it probably is a cultural thing.
Yeah.
I could probably Mariah name more Carey. Bollywood stars than
Mariah
you guys.
Right.
Okay. Points also for Swathi. More Bollywood stars. All right, Mariah Carey has not Mariah 100. From the Taku tribe. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Mariah Carey. Swathi, you know Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey, I do know.
Okay.
All right. She knows Mariah Carey.
I'm the youngest person out here. I'm literally a teenager, and I know that there is so much life experience that I'm lacking.
Luther Vandross
from Drea.
There's no world she's going to know who Luther Vandross is. She should. It's good tunes, but she is not going to know. No.
I mean, Luther Vandross is making Aerosmith look like
One Direction.
I was going to say a popular band. I don't even know any popular bands.
What's the one that Jeff Probst was really into last year? Went to their concert.
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like there's not a lot of bands
nowadays.
Yeah,
I feel like there's still bands, but I don't know if they're hitting like mainstream anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hold on. Okay. No. Okay. Sam Moore is
did you just try to Sam Moore and Akiva probably on the same music tip, Rob. Like we know more.
Jeff Probst went to go see the band. It has a
Frida something.
It's a woman's name.
Greta Van Fleet.
Not Fleetwood Mac, Sam.
No. God.
Okay. Does Swathi know Luther Vandross?
No idea who that is.
Drea has like the Roxroy Aerosmith reaction.
I know everyone they've mentioned, you know, born 92. Shout out to my 90s kids. I'm surprised they're not throwing out more from like the 2000s, 2010.
We'll get there. Okay.
Okay.
You know who NSYNC was?
Okay. NSYNC. Chris Kirkpatrick recently on Celebrity Big Brother. Does Swathi know NSYNC?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. Does Swathi know NSYNC?
They were a boy band, right?
The Backstreet Boys?
Yes, the Backstreet Boys.
Okay, she knows the boy bands. Okay.
There we go.
You've heard of them?
Yeah, my mom used to listen to the Backstreet Boys.
Oh God, that was on my mom's Now That's What I Call Music CD. Yeah, I've heard of them.
My mom used to listen to the Backstreet Boys. Okay,
ooh, that hurt. That one hurt, Rob. That one hurt.
Yeah, what are her words for Roxroy? That or when he didn't protect the balls?
Honestly, I take getting him the McNuggets by a box now than hearing that.
My mom listened to the Backstreet Boys. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gay.
Romeo is I'm dead after that.
Oh, that got slimy.
I love meeting people who are older in some way different than me. So I love talking to people. I love learning from people.
You don't know who Cher is?
Rox Roy. She, Rox Roy, she said she did it. She heard of Cher.
She knew of Cher at least, yes.
I know Cher exists, but no, I actually have no idea. Is Cher a singer? Is Cher a model? Like, who is Cher?
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
There you go.
Who is Cher? I'm happy I didn't watch it at the time, Rob.
Yeah. That's when maybe our key demo of, you know, 50 plus rage quit survivor, if they show that scene in the episode.
Yeah. Like, what? This is awful. Bye. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
I'm feeling feelings, Rob. I can't quite describe them, but I'm feeling some things right now. Yeah. It was a lot.
That was a fun secret scene.
Very fun secret scene. Very, very fun secret scene. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love to know what's Rox Roy's favorite Aerosmith tracks.
This will be great to find out. This will be very, very great to find out. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, Aerosmith is a band that kind of did not hit my airwaves that they were not on my radar. I know the one song was I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. One. I know that one.
From Armageddon.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. Too bad the Wandoff isn't around anymore. It would have been a big week for the Wandoff.
I mean, if you don't think you would have heard it's my High's Got Dogs on His Socks, Volume 2, then that would have been an easy gimme this week, yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Puya, let's bring in something from next time on Survivor, if you don't mind. Okay.
Oh,
so,
please.
Coming up, we have a episode where Jeff Probst, saw some like drama in the water. It seems like that Rox Roy is calling for help. And Jeff says this in the preview for next week on Survivor.
Never done this in the history of Survivor.
Okay. So seemingly, and Sam, do we have a clip of the promo? I know that during March Madness today, during basketball games, so much grace in men's college basketball, that there was another trailer which shows a little bit more having to do with the coming attractions for this next episode. Let me see if I can play a little bit more of that. I think we're going to get a little bit more clarity on what's to come. Here is this is from Omer coming up. Here is when a monster on Survivor 42 is the ocean. Okay. Next Wednesday.
It is one of the most turbulent days ever seen on Survivor. The ocean is dragging them away. Big swells. We rarely see anything like this.
Oh my God.
I need help. We've never done this in the history of Survivor.
Okay. Booyah. It seems like we have a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Something's the ocean was angry that day.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Ocean. What are we going to do?
Are we going to postpone the challenge?
Postpone the challenge. So now I think now if this is a truly an immunity challenge and not a reward challenge where you call for a reward challenge, okay, let's just split the reward. No biggie. If this is the immunity challenge, what do we do? Because we're on a schedule here, okay, where I think we're going to go to tribal council, you know, if not like every, you know, other day. I think that that's what these episode cycles are, 2 days to vote somebody out. I think that pushing it back a day would be a problem schedule-wise.
So I don't like the ocean and I are not friends. So yeah. I don't know exactly the ins and outs of it. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to postpone something for an hour or like hour and a half? And then the waves get kinder, the ocean gets kinder, or is an ocean cycle like longer and that it'll take like a full day for it to settle down?
So again, I'm not necessarily an expert when it comes to this, you know, it looks bright out. It doesn't look particularly stormy. So
it looks very nice.
Yeah. I mean, there's clouds, but it's not like, it doesn't look like, you know, when you see that really dark sky on Survivor. So yeah, I don't know if this is the kind of thing that they can tell, like, you know, how this is going to pass. But I mean, when we think back to some other like bad weather on Survivor where like Pat got medevaced from Survivor David versus Goliath, and maybe that's the person that is the answer to the question you asked at the beginning of the podcast, the person who goes out first. Yeah, I don't know if you could wait for that to pass. Can they do something like on land of, like, who's going to tribal council?
Is this where they suspend this comp, they come back to land, and then they do some kind of simpler competition that is more makeshift?
What would they do? Like a 40-yard dash, like Puya versus Mike Bloom?
I mean, that could be the case, but then how are they going to decide? Like, is that everyone faces someone from the other team? It's like a pass the baton type situation, maybe. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be able to tell you, Rob. It'll be, I don't know. What if? Okay. So, okay. You know what? I was going to say there's three tribes. There's no world. Okay. Never mind. Scrap what I was going to say. Because I was going to say they could just say, all right, everyone just, we're all going to one big tribal council and someone's leaving. But I feel like there's no world that happens without us getting a huge preview of something like that happening.
Yeah, I mean, that would be wild.
It would be very wild.
If you brought everybody to tribal council and we're voting. And we're going to vote somebody out. We're going to do our first ever 15 person tribal council.
Full on. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty wild.
That would be a lot to digest. Last time they merged two tribes together to do one vote is when, you know, it was back in the Game Changer day, I believe. One Mike Bloom had a good night.
Yeah, I think that it actually happened during season The Edge of Extinction, where the tribe that had they voted out, Big Wendy got voted out, and they did that in that tribal council.
Oh, they merged her. Yeah, it's been a minute, Rob.
It was that they had the three tribes and that they brought two of them to tribal council.
But they've never brought three.
They've never brought all three tribes to tribal council.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen here. I wonder how big, and you know me, Rob, we talk about 90 day. 90 day often does these previews that seem like they're going to be huge and then are nothing. So I'm very skeptical on what this could be.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big deal. I do wonder what we will do and how, you know, could it get down to like, do they sort of like go as minimalist as possible of, hey, rock, paper, scissors, okay?
Or rock, draw, just draw some rocks, you know? We'll do like, because in Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, they did some kind of like draw rock roulette thing, right? What about something like that?
That was Sam Moore's favorite moment from season 35.
Sam Moore's fascinating, truly.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Recently told me that. Okay. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We are going to go see some historic action in this week's episode.
I'm here for it. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see what happens. And I can't wait to hear your breakdowns.
Okay.
The week.
Let me see. Do you like the blindfold challenge, Puya?
Rob, the blindfold challenge seems like it's built to get people injured in the groinal region. It really does feel like it's that way. And as far as TV goes, I don't mind it. It does give us some good moments. I feel like Lydia stole a whole scene this week with one line.
Yeah.
Daniel had some good ad-libs in there.
You want to hear that line? So,
oh, please.
I think it actually is better in the visual because it got the Chiron on the bottom of the screen. Here's Lydia trying to direct. I guess she was calling out to who is from her tribe. I guess that is Jenny and Chanel.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. So here she goes. Here's Lydia.
Both of y'all bitches, come here.
Both of y'all B words, come here.
With authority, if you want people to pay attention, that's how you do it. Immediate attention.
I mean, look, Lydia did a great job instructing on the puzzle. I'm not sure necessarily. Do you want to refer to blindfolded people as like, I think that my instinct would be call people by their names, not B word.
So here's why I like it, because no one else is going to say that. So it'll make it very clear. And for me, my ear's always open for a cuss word, Rob. So my cuss word radar is strong. So if I heard a cuss word, attention's there. Oh, that's Lydia. She's on my team. No one else would say that. All right. I can zone out everyone else and listen to her. I feel like that would help me personally.
Yeah. I do think that if you are going to try to get people's attention, the two things you want to do that'll cut through the noise are say their first name or swear words.
Definitely.
Those are the two things. Oh, okay. I'm listening.
What if it's either like you can full name someone, right? Start, middle, end. That usually gets them. Mm-hmm. Or if you give someone, if they go by a shorter version of their name, their full first name, that always helps as well. And if you cuss them out, that's it. Those three will help every time.
I mean, Jonathan was also shouting his head off during this.
Right here! Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You see that? See, the Hulk Hogan does not do it for me. Like,
I'm right here, brother.
Yeah. That I would not have as much of an impact for. But you call me the B word, I'm there. Easy.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Puya, did you have any other things that you want to make sure we hit before we talk about the social media?
I'm very excited for the social media. No, Rob, this was a great second episode for us. I feel like the last time I was on with you for 41, that's when we heard about the hourglass. The hourglass started to come into play.
Part one of the hourglass.
Yeah. And no, I was very fulfilled with this episode, and I'm glad I got to talk about it. But I can't wait for the social media, Rob. So let's just go.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the social media for the week. And boy, we have been so blessed here in season 42 of Survivor because we have a cast that's great on social media.
That's right. That's right. They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, we are pumped up for the Survivor 42 cast who is killing it on social media. We have to start off with the queen of Survivor Twitter, and that is none other than Lydia. Okay. Let's Lydia go. Chlamydia. That's what she goes by on Twitter. She kicks off our social media segment this week with a tweet from Thursday that said, "My DMs are the horniest place in America right now. I'm proud of you, Lydia Chlamydia Donator." Yeah.
I have no idea what I could picture going on in those DMs. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. Sounds like a lot. And when was that tweet from? That was from Thursday night.
Thursday night. Right? So I have it as 11:55 PM on Thursday night. So that's St. Patrick's Day. And mm-hmm. so, but I guess that's Eastern time, but I believe Lydia's on the West Coast. So, you know, night's just getting started for Lydia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The horniest place in America right now is Lydia's DMs.
The DMs are filthy, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute filthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, kudos to you, Lydia.
Honestly, I mean, and you know, these are 2 weeks now where we talked about some stuff last week with Lydia, and now here, I don't know where else Lydia's confessionals or words on the show could go. But by the end of the season, Lydia might have to shut down her DMs because they might be too busy.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know if any survivor has ever bragged about how horny their DMs are.
I wonder, are we going to be in an era where more survivors will be mentioning what's going on? Because I feel like, you know, the DMs must be popping off no matter what show you end up on. I feel like the DMs happen. I mean, 90 Day, the DMs are busy too.
Yeah.
I wonder if more people will speak on it, you know?
Okay. It's all happening. You know, Jeff actually, in this week on Survivor, described what my DMs are like.
This is where death happens.
Yeah.
Rob, are you implying that your DMs are quiet?
Yeah,
not a lot happens there.
It's quiet, you know, as they should be. but. That was a wild line that Jeff said to Omer.
Omer, as much excitement as I saw even on your face when you walked in here, this is where death happens.
It's where death happens.
Yeah, relax, Jeff. Why are you doing this? Why does this have to be so dark?
Why are you being like this?
Yeah.
I mean, even when they walked in, that, you know, you remember last week where he was like, hey, Zach, say the line. Say the line. Say it.
This is part of the ritual of tribal council because in this game, fire represents your life. And when your fire is gone, so are you.
Yeah.
It's fun to say, not fun when you think about it.
No, not at all. Yeah. I didn't really ever think about it before.
So sinister, Jeff Probst, this season.
Yeah, fire. Your life in this game, but when your fire is gone, so are you. Yeah. It's a lot.
There you go.
Lots to think about.
This is where death happens.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, enough about all that bad stuff. Let's talk about the dating habits of the Survivor 42 contestants because, boy, Marianne and Zach, that they are, you know, talking about a romance on Survivor and then also on Twitter because. Marianne, did you see this this week? Changed her Twitter bio to be Marianne Werdenberger.
Yes, and I believe Zach returned the favor and changed his own last name to her last name as well.
Yeah. What's going on? You think these crazy kids have a shot?
Now, I think these kids have adapted the old MSN Messenger 2006, 2007 rite of passage of we like each other. We're going to take each other's last names and put them on our accounts.
OK,
like that's what's happened most likely. But it's cute and I love it. And I do ship them. So,
yeah,
good humor right there.
In whatever is the healthy way to say we encourage this, we're sending only positive vibes if you want them to Zach to Marianne.
Whether you like each other like that or you're memeing, or I not. Appreciate
whatever
both.
It is.
Yeah, whatever you're it. Doing,
we love approve. It. We have no idea. Are you joking? Are you serious? But we're happy.
We're into it.
we stand by. Okay. All right. Zach was talking a lot about Tori also on social media this week.
Okay, what did Zach say about Tori?
Well, also that Zach certainly returned the favor that retweeted Brian Scally, who photoshopped Zach and Marianne's heads onto Robin Amber from the
classic.
Yeah, I don't dare say that they're going to do it. You know, I did call my shot with Robin Amber. Zach photoshopped his own head onto Billy Garcia's body this week. Says, my prize isn't even $1 million. I fell in love in this game.
That's also good. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. But Zach went on a little bit of a, you know, runner on Twitter talking about that part of the reason he didn't bond well with Tori is that he thought she was a nerd.
It was a no, you more of a reversal. Like, no, you were the nerd. I thought you were a nerd. That's why I didn't vibe with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
He said when Daniel got injured, Tori said he took an arrow to the knee and then made the Spock sign.
Is that a Skyrim joke and then a Star Trek joke back to back?
See, I don't even know Skyrim.
I know. Yeah. The arrow of the knee was big in like the 2000, you know, was it like 9, 10, 11?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. Okay.
Zach says, you guys wouldn't believe how many Fortnite dances Tori did out there. Zach, hey, don't make fun of Fortnite. Steven Fishback and Gavin and Rick Devins, take that seriously.
Yeah, are they big on the Fortnite? They, yeah, they play Fortnite? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Big Damn, Fortnite Steven guys out here squatting up with Gavin and Rick Devins. Okay, mm-hmm. I see you, Steven.
Yeah. Zach said she kept asking us who our favorite Minecraft animator was until the producers begged her to stop.
See, I've played my fair share of Minecraft. I could not tell you any animators of Minecraft. So, Tori, wow, that's pretty nerdy.
Yeah. Okay. So, then, okay, so, you know, Zach and Marianne are getting all the attention. Here comes Swathy. And Swathy tweets out, should at Zach Wirt go out with me or Marianne? Thoughts?
Swathy say, I just want to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Let me be there.
Wow. Boy. Swathy. This is really, you know, cutting in.
Hey, Swathy just wants to be a part of the convo, Rob. I feel like I respect the move. I respect mm-hmm. putting it out there. It must not be easy coming into a situation where the entire world has now shipped two people already.
Yes.
But I mean, I'd be intrigued to see how that conversation goes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So look at, I mean, Zach has options.
Listen, Zach Wurtenberger, see you on The Bachelor. That's where yeah. Zach's
are, are you team Marianne or team Swathy?
This ooh, like that's a difficult question.
Team Edward or Team Jacob for a new generation?
Well, I will say this. I'm going with Team Marianne. I'm going with Team Marianne. Mm-hmm. Swathy not knowing who Missy Elliott yeah. was did hurt me. And then being like, my mom knows who the Backstreet Boys are. I'm sad. So give me Marianne. Okay?
Okay. All right. Marianne's been through a lot this week. Between Survivor, between almost getting voted out, okay? Mm-hmm. Tough week for Marianne. And so Marianne was tweeted about a, you know, harrowing flight delay situation.
What happened?
So Marianne, she was on a flight. My flight has been delayed in Florida for more than 3 hours, and they don't know when I will be able to fly. Where's Erica to read the fine print when you need her? Was that Erica's thing? Erica read the fine print?
I mean, is this a hourglass situation?
I mean, Erica breaks the hourglass and goes back in time. But does yeah. Erica read the fine print?
This reference is kind of lost on me. I assumed maybe it was more.
Is it a different Erica?
I don't think so, right? Yeah. I don't think so.
Okay. So. Marianne tweeted out, then update, my flight is canceled and the next flight is at 7 p.m. Time for adulting to occur, aka someone call my mom, I'm scared.
Rob, it's not Survivor Erica, it's someone else.
Erica about, okay, so this is a TikTok thing of like, did you know that if you tell them that if your flight is delayed, you'll get $400? Like, wait, how did you know that? Like, oh, Erica told me. Is that
there we go.
Yeah, that's it.
That's exactly what that is. Yes.
Okay. This was very confusing.
Yeah. Well, Rob, listen.
Days, okay?
Yeah. I love that you get the TikTok references. I love that.
Yes. Yes. No, I always feel like, oh, I should have written that down. Because one day I'm going to be in a thing and then I'll be like looking through my phone trying to find this TikTok.
Yeah, honestly, that's the hardest thing is documenting, because I'll like a bunch of them to send to people and then I forget and I just get lost in
You ever watch a TikTok and then it's like, oh, yeah, I want to go back to that. Oh, I'll never see that again.
Mm-hmm. They need like a bookmark type situation.
Right. Like on YouTube, I can see my history. I feel like and I'm sure there's like people that are like, you like listen later days. That's very easy to do. Okay.
Listen, drop the tutorial in the mentions. Sure. I would be okay with that, please.
Okay. Then Mary said, my new flight is also delayed by 3 hours. My luck is outstanding. I'm actually laughing at the situation.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Rob, airports are fun when there's no delays and there's not long layovers. Besides that, airports are brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't envy.
Okay. All right. But Marianne finally found a place to stay. Very tired, has a roof over her head, excited for one more day of warmth. So she did it. I thought I saw that and Christian Hubicki then got involved. He had some interesting plane stories recently also. He said, I want to make sure that I have this right. He got into this let me see if I can find the Christian of it all. He said, I'm Florida man. I can send help. Not sure if Christian was able to. she said, apparently because there's delay cancellation, it is an act of God, aka weather. There's no compensation we can get. Okay. So Erica says, act of God.
No refund.
Yeah. Maybe Marianne is like the jinx on like this weather situation with the ocean.
Well, that wouldn't be good. Erica bringing in the bad luck over, mm-hmm. But we'll have to wait and see, Rob.
Yeah. Okay. Heather was one of the Survivor 41 contestants to talk about the new season.
Okay.
Talked about this with Evie the other day. Heather tweeted out, I love how they are actually showing relationships developing. Some people felt like that was Heather being a little shady.
I feel like I'm not finding any lies detected here. It's a little shady, but I would have not understood the context of this until listening to Evie bring it up potentially that, hey, they had to show you all these mechanics last season. So they had to sacrifice some of the developments. And now that they've shown you that, they're just giving you more development. So I definitely see that. I didn't know Heather had it in her to put something like this out there, but go Heather. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heather is, she's doing it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see, if I have, one or two more, good tweets from this week. How about one from Mike? Let's talk about Mike.
Let's.
Okay. Mike said this about the people that are standing Mike. Mike says, why does everyone keep calling me Stan Mike? My name's only Mike. Where are they getting the Stan from?
Oh, Mike, your later days might be showing in this instance. Mm-hmm. Can I ask, Mike really put Thanos as his profile picture on Twitter?
Yeah. Is it because that people said Mike looks like Thanos?
Well, I mean, 100% that has to be why, I think.
Hmm.
And also, I do love that at this point, Mike has changed his name on Twitter to Stan Mike Turner. So Mike just decided, listen, I'm a three named person now. That's it. I'm Stan Mike Turner.
Oh, is that count? Is that canon?
I don't see any hyphens. I think it counts. I think it's good. Yeah.
Official.
Yeah, I love this. This was one of my favorite tweets this week, though, is seeing this and fully knowing there's people being like, are you trolling? And then people just ready to laugh out loud. And I definitely laughed out loud on this.
Yeah. Okay. And then here's another one from Stan Mike Turner. This is from a group text talking about this. So in the group text, people are asking, did anyone see Dad's tweet? Who's Stan? No, Dad, you're killing me. Shaking my head. They sent Mike from the Urban Dictionary. Stan.
Well, he learned it now, right? That's the good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Rob, he knows.
I sent you something to maybe look at. Mike put out a video 3 days ago. Still looking for that idol, .. #survivor, #survivor42, #HobokenWhisper. And it's him just like at his fire station, just looking under his fire truck for an idol.
Yeah, let's take a look. I'll bring this up into the video here.
Ooh, a rare treat. Okay.
Here we go. Here's Mike, Stan Mike Turner. Here is Mike looking for an idol. Look in the front of the fire truck. Look under the fire truck.
Oh, Mike! Did you find it?
Didn't find anything.
Let's keep looking.
Wow, he got the whole squad in on the...
He's out here doing skits.
Yeah. I thought he was retired. He went back?
I don't know. Do you think he just pulled up? Is he retired? Okay, let me see.
He went back?
Maybe he came out of retirement or he just...
came out of retirement to go and go look.
Got to film some stuff, Rob. It's content season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, is the Hoboken Fire Department like a hype house?
Could you imagine? And are they exclusively doing Twitter videos or are they doing TikToks and other stuff? Or is it primarily focused on videos for Twitter?
All right. It's like a hype house, but they're all Twitter videos. Okay, everybody.
I mean, listen,
I've got stands now.
None of them like soccer. No soccer videos for him. Definitely not.
No soccer videos.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. Tomorrow I go on Twitter and Stan Mike Turner has a picture of him just puncturing a soccer ball, looking deadpan into the camera. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. What about Stan Mike Turner beating up Ted Lasso?
Ooh, I would put money on Stan Mike Turner for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
So
I like it. All right. Anything else that you've seen from the social media, Puya?
No, I think we covered everything that I had my eyes on. They've been very fun. I typically am scared to follow Twitter accounts from the main season, because obviously if it's ongoing, I'm worried I might see something I shouldn't see. Mm-hmm. But from what I've seen, this group, they're just there to have fun. They're memeing. They're putting out jokes. So I've been enjoying them on social media.
Yeah, I feel like you know, it's like if somebody puts out something that is that's out there, like I kind of feel like I'm going to absorb it anyway.
Right, like even if you don't follow them, you're going to see it from someone else.
Yeah,
it's going to
end up being a thing.
Yes,
but good. I really love how this group is having so much fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving it. I'm very much loving it for them.
Yeah. Puya, can I? I don't know where I would cover this. Did you happen to catch the new commercial for Paramount Mountain?
Okay, so I have not seen the full commercial. I have seen a screenshot.
Yeah. So there's a new Paramount Mountain commercial, and because of all the things, if people don't know what Paramount Mountain is. Mike Bloom and I famously did a brand steal of everything over at Paramount Mountain, and we did a brand steal, which is a fake Survivor season, and we talked about that. There's a new updated Paramount Mountain commercial, And in the Paramount Mountain commercial, we get to see two Big Brother 23 contestants in Xavier, the winner, and Alyssa are in a hot tub together.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're hanging out.
Yes. So who knows? They may be in other CBS properties. Who will be the first Survivor contestant to grace Paramount Mountain?
So there's been none so far. Jeff Probst is the only one that's been on Paramount Mountain.
Is the only one. I think that TJ Lavin was like, you know, calling some people doing like fighting with like some joust sticks. But I don't believe I don't even know if the challenge players are identified.
Interesting. Okay, so. So that means there's been no Boston Rob on Paramount.
No, Boston Rob has not made an appearance on Paramount Mountain.
Okay, so then we've got to go with...
I was on the Island of the Idols. I don't need Paramount Mountain.
Not even the Island of the Idols, like Island Head on Paramount Mountain.
No.
Not even that. Okay, so... I mean, Rob, it really, the question comes down to, are they going to go with a recent season? And by recent, I mean one of these like last two, or are they going to go with an old school, more recognized name? Now, with Big Brother, they've went with someone from this past season.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would ask you, who do you think would be the top nominee from the last season or two?
Yeah. So do you think that we end up going with like a legend? From like an all-timer.
See, I thought initially an all-timer, but now I'm thinking someone from what they've got.
Xavier certainly is a recent winner. Alyssa, kind of like, okay, interesting.
Alyssa was also there. Yes.
She was also there. you know, Paramount Mountain's an interesting place.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. So, be interesting to see if we see a Survivor player soon gracing Paramount Mountain.
I have a name. I have a name that's potentially going into some project like soon. I could see on there that could check multiple boxes, current, past. We'll see.
Let me give you one other fun tweet that came up. So... This is from Diana, who is Nasir's wife, who tweeted, "My new favorite thing to do is to incorrectly explain at Lydia Meredith's tweets to Nasir."
That sounds like a very fun game. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we?
She said, no one can tell him what a rave is. What do you think she told him about Lydia's DMs?
Oh, Rob, to be a fly on the wall of that conversation. Mm-hmm. You have no idea how much I would love that.
Yeah. And did you see the other day, Nasir himself responded to an idea that I had on last week's feedback show, where we talked about where Jackson, if he got pulled early enough from the game, that what if they just replaced him with Nasir and sent Nasir back into the game?
Listen, no one would have been a bigger fan of that than I would.
Yeah, that would have been great. And Nasir tweeted to me and Chappelle, "I'm in for Secret Nasir. No one would notice, right?" And he has Jimmy Fallon like pulling off a mustache. I said, "I will never forgive them for not doing this." Yeah. So
I love Nasir.
There you go. All right, Puya, anything else for you?
No, Rob, thank you for having me on for the feedback show. This has been a dream. You know, I got to do my first one last season, second time ever here. Always a pleasure talking with you, and especially with Survivor. It's always a treat.
Why it's so much fun. This time flew by.
Mm-hmm.
Hope it did for the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they loved it. I'm sure I'm bold enough to assume they did. And Rob, besides this... as far as other podcasts go, obviously, we've mentioned we've got 90 Day, you and I, collaboratively working through that still. Yep. I've got The Masked Singer with Liana. This past week was probably one of the worst episodes of The Masked Singer I've seen in a minute. They removed clue packages from this episode, which was a weird choice, but it was one of the best episodes of Masked Singer Liana and I have done it. Shades of the first season we covered, Rob. So
wow.
I would definitely say people should check it out. It was a lot of fun. And then I've got Bel Air going on with Chappelle over on Post Show Recaps, which has been a lot of fun as well. Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, I had the Bel Air co-hosts back to back on the feedback show.
You did. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're trying to really push it. As they say, you did save the best for last with the two Bel Air co-hosts. So I appreciate that. Sure. Thank you for the nod there.
Yeah.
Take that, Chappelle. And I'm kidding. I love Chappelle. Okay. It's so mean, Rob. He called me like an amazing person last week, and here I am shading him. But you know, we do what we do.
I think it's fine.
And then you're Big Brother Canada as well, Rob. Sorry, what?
There's not a lot of smoke there with you and Chappelle.
There isn't. He just keeps trying to say I'm the Carlton of the podcast, and we all know it's him. But we, you know, we allow it. Mm-hmm. We allow Chappelle to, I'm being nice to him. And then Big Brother Canada will be Big Brother Canada, Rob. Live feed updates, as long as they're going on, I'll be there every Friday morning. Talk about those. I'll be on Twitter at Puyaism, and I'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya as well.
Can I ask you another question that's a little off the wall? So,
oh, yeah.
All right. We all know about, or I guess Big Brother fans know about, the Kyle Moore, who there was a Kyle Moore on season 9 of Big Brother Canada, and that people like got the wrong Kyle Moore on Twitter, and then they ended up putting that person on the show in season 10. Could we ever, do you think, have that situation in Survivor where we end up having a second Survivor? It doesn't even have to be like the same situation as Kyle Moore. Will we ever have a Survivor with the same exact first name and last name as a previous contestant?
I think that time will come. I do think there will be, first of all, there's like, you know, names that can be more common. First name's common,
last
name's
common. Who is it?
Mike White.
That was going to be my guess.
Hey, same page, Rob. I could see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Mike Turner is not a bad guess. Stan Mike Turner. That's why he has to be Stan Mike Turner.
That's true. Stan Turner. So if someone comes through next year and they're Stan Turner, do we count it?
Stan Turner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think so. Would love to hear on Twitter if you have some thoughts about who could be the first ever Kyle Moore of Survivor.
Yeah,
of,
the namesake.
Yeah, give me some candidates for the first person. You know, Kim Johnson. That could happen.
I could see that. Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Puya, so great to feedback it up with you.
Thanks, Rob. Anytime.
Send us in your feedback questions for next time out. Robswebsite.com/voicemail to send those in for the shows. I'll be getting together with Brian Scally for the Survivor Academy to talk some strategy shop for the future players in our patron podcast feed at Robswebsite.com/patron. And make sure you're subscribed to everything in our Survivor podcast feed to hear the rest of the Survivor shows come your week. That's at robswebsite.com/survivor feed. Thank you for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.